See, you can have a sickness or a disease. You can pray all you want to pray to the Prophet Muhammad, but Muhammad's dead. He went by way of the grave. You can pray all you want to Buddha. You can rub his belly until it wears out. But you know what? Buddha has no ability to take the cancer out of your body. You can pray to the hundreds, thousands of the gods of the Hindu. And that sacred cow, that sacred horse, that sacred rat, that sacred bug, none of them have the power and the authority like the name of Jesus. Praise God. It's in that name that all sickness and disease has to flee. It's in that name. It's in that name. The name of Jesus. You can go ahead and be seated tonight. We are here the first Sunday evening of 2015. Brother Kevin Nix preached a marvelous message this morning. And tremendous job. Challenging us in the morning service. He preached in our VOSIS service. They're on their way traveling home tonight back to Independence, Missouri. So say a prayer for them as they travel. But over the next few services, I'm going to be presenting what I would say is our ministry challenge for the year of 2015. Sometimes it's hard for me to grasp that we are at 2015. It seems just but a few short years ago, I was in physical science class watching a movie talking about the year of 2000 and all of these inventions and all of these things. I believe it was called Future Science, where they talked about, as you saw in Star Trek and Star Wars, I guess it would have been Star Trek then, Star Wars wasn't even invented or discovered or whatever. And you had these little tricorders, and they would open them up, and they would be able to take and communicate wireless. And here we are going around with our own little tricorders, communicating to our Starship Enterprise via Facebook or Twitter. 2015! Who would have thought that we'd have ever have got here? Time seems to be going by so very fast. Tonight, I wish to lay out to you a bit more of an evangelistic type of a challenge. Tonight will be somewhat broad in its nature, but I wish to challenge each and every person here, regardless of your age, regardless of your spiritual condition, regardless if you're a saint or a sinner, and which the scripture says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So perhaps I should say repented or unrepented. Wednesday night, we'll be talking and following up on this service tonight, and it will be a bit more down to the nitty-gritty nuts and bolts on our challenge for this next year. So you want to make sure that you and your family are here. I would like to start off reading a few verses tonight that will tie in just a little bit later in this message. Reading from Acts chapter 2, this is Peter as he is preaching on that day of Pentecost. He's preaching or reminding the crowd the day of prophecy in the Old Testament. Reading from Acts chapter 2, verses 17 and 18. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall dream dreams, or shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. He was reading a passage from the book of Joel. Joel penned these words some 830 years before the day of Pentecost. We go back to Joel, verse chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great. For he is strong that executeth his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. And who can abide or who can endure it? Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning. Tonight I would like to speak to you on the topic, there is an army rising up. I believe in these last days, I believe in the year of 2015, that God is desiring for a people of his name, a people that carry his name in their hearts and on their foreheads. He says, church, it is time to rise up. It is time to get out of your spirit of apathy. It is time to get out of your spirit of complacency. And it's time to rise up, for the moment is now. Joel is speaking to Israel, and he is giving them warnings as what is to come. Israel was in a constant state of rebellion against God. You would have remnants of people who would stay strong in the ways of the Lord, and then you would have those that would backslide. We live in a country today that is in a constant state of rebellion against the word of God and against the oracles of the scripture, and we are paying a price for that. But there's an army that's rising up. God always has had a spokesman who would be a constant reminder of his presence as well as his power. He has willingness to forgive, but also his ability to judge mankind. As we look into the New Testament, we can go into the book of Matthew, and Jesus speaks of such times. Jesus spoke in Matthew chapter 24 concerning the conditions of the world that were preceding and during the end of times. Some of you may say, this end of times, what are you talking about? We've all heard, we've all watched movies about 666, about the mark of the beast, about an antichrist, about an impending apocalypse. The Bible speaks of this all over in the New Testament, in the book of Revelation. You see, I like to look at the end times. When we look at the end times, it seems like we are asphyxiated on the power that Satan has, and we're asphyxiated on who the Antichrist is and the powers that he has. But remember one thing, Satan and the Antichrist, they only have the power and the authority that they have because it was given to them by the Almighty God. They can't do anything unless God gives them permission. They can't do anything unless God allows them to do it. So when I look at the end times, I don't see an antichrist. I don't see a ravaging Satan running around the earth. I see the power and the glory of God as it floods across this nation, as it floods across this world. I see an army rising up. I see the power and the glory of God as it spreads like a tsunami wave all across this planet. I desire to see the power and the glory of God as a total consuming army, as it reaches out and it invades into every nook, every crevice, every highway and every byway, everywhere that sin abounds, the grace of God doth more abound. As we enter into this year, I want to challenge you tonight. If you are here and you need a breakthrough, I want to challenge you tonight to go for the breakthrough. God needs an army, and God needs saints that need to break through whatever they have to break through, and to get rid of whatever they have to get rid of, and lay down whatever they have to lay down. He needs a mean, lean fighting machine in these last days. the year 2000, I desire to see the glory of God as it's poured out upon this assembly with the power that has yet to be seen. I don't know about you, church, but I am not satisfied with the victories of the past. 2014 is behind us. We had 313 souls, which I am happy for. I cannot be satisfied with only 313 when there's 510,000 souls that are lost and dying right outside of the doors of this church. I cannot be happy and satisfied with victories in the past, nor blessings of the past, or last year's victory. I desire something that is deeper. I want so much more. You can say you're being greedy. I want so much more of God. I desire so much more than what I'm experiencing. We can't do it with what we have. If we could have done it with what we have, it would have already been done. So that's good for us to understand that what we have had in the past isn't going to be enough to take care of what has to be done in the future. We know that the end of times are all around us. There's earthquakes, wars, and rumors of wars, and incurable diseases, and financial troubles, famine, lawlessness, all over. Matthew chapter 26 pretty well sums it up this way and says, these are the beginning of sorrows. These are the beginning of the troubles for mankind. Our political landscape, one world government, cashless society, a one world religion, a one world leader, all of this. But when we look at Isaiah, the old prophet writes in his book, chapter 60 verse 2, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. Sin is going to cover the earth, and the gross darkness of people, the sin of people, is going to cover the earth. But the Lord shall arise upon thee. That means God Almighty is going to rise up within me. He desires to rise up within you. There's an army that he desires to rise up within us, and his glory, I want to see his glory shine upon thee. When we look at what's going on around us, the world is full of chaos. Around your life here tonight, your life might be surrounded by chaos. You might be struggling with all sorts of things. But I want to encourage you tonight that God is rising up an army. God is rising up a church. He's going to use men and he's going to use women, because God needs an army of preachers. He needs an army of teachers. He needs an army of mentors. He needs an army of worshipers. He's going to use our young people. He's going to use our children. He's going to use the old people. He's going to use people of every nation, of every kindred, of every tribe, and of every tongue. God is going to use those who have been discarded and thrown away and rejected by society. He's going to use the downtrodden and the broken, because God has always had an army. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, upon all flesh. I want to challenge the youth here tonight, not just the youth that sit over here, but the youth that sit here and here and here and here. We're all youth at some point. I want to challenge you tonight. God is seeking to rise up young men and young women, young Timothys, that says, go and preach the gospel. Go and preach the gospel. Go into your high schools and take control of your high school. Go into your college classroom and take control of your college classroom. God is desiring to rise up an army of young people. Of young people. So many times we look at young people and we say, you know what? You're young. You're not mature in the Spirit. You're not mature in the Word of God. When I look at maturity, I think of a big block of cheese that sat on a shelf for 4 years before you can take a slice out of it and eat it. God's not looking for a block of cheese on a shelf. He's looking for somebody that's willing, that will say, yes, I will go. I will follow. I will do. It doesn't matter how young you are. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how mature you are. It doesn't matter how much intellectual power you have. God says, I need an army, and I'm going to rise it up from somewhere. Somebody is going to be a representative of me in these last days. We don't have to sit around. We don't have time to sit around and wait for people to mature and become aged Christians. God is saying, learn how to fight on the battlefield. It's our job as the older seasoned saints to teach the young ones how to fight on the battlefield. God is saying to our youth, learn to fight in your classrooms. Learn to become the warrior that God has called you to be. You need to be a true apostle of the Word of God. Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. And he gave some of to be apostles. He gave some to be prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. We need people today, right now, tonight, to stand up and to rise up and fulfill their God-giving ministry, to act on the authority that God has already given to us. He says, I give you power to tread upon serpents. I give you power to tread upon the Satan. I give you power to tread upon the evil spirits that are in your schools, that are in your neighborhoods, that are in your classrooms, that are in your family. I give you power. I give you power because you are my army. We need end time apostles. You may say, I'm not old enough to be an apostle. I don't care how old you are. We need end time apostles. We need end time pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. We need to stop talking about what we're going to do. We need to stop talking about we're going to evangelize. We need to stop talking about I'm going to be a preacher someday. Be a preacher right now. Be a preacher tonight. You don't have to wait until you get behind a pulpit to be a preacher. We need end time apostles who will work with the other members of the fivefold ministry to equip the body of Christ and organize it into a powerful fighting force, because whether you like it or not, we are in a war. Whether you choose to engage or not, that's your problem. But remember, if you got my back, you better engage. If you got my back, you better engage. I'm going to engage and stay engaged because I want to cover anybody that needs to be covered, but I don't want to get it in the back because you're not engaged, so we all depend upon each other. I have no armor in my back. If you look at the putting on the whole armor of God, there's absolutely nothing that protects me when I turn around. Nothing. That's why it's important. You may say, do I make a difference in the kingdom of God? You better believe you make a difference. Somebody's got you covered and you've got somebody else covered. We're in this together. We're in this together. We're not up here. I'm not up here just preaching my guts out because I feel like it. I'm up here because God has laid this so strong upon my heart that we are in a battle. We are in a war, church, and we're in it together. It's not a fight that I picked. It's not a fight that Bishop picked. It's not a fight that anyone here picked. It was picked back in the Garden of Eden. And it's not going to stop until Jesus Christ returns for his church. When we read in Numbers 10, verses 5 and 6, when the sound of the trumpet to move on, the tribes on the east side of the tabernacle will break camp and move forward. When you sound the trumpet a second time, the tribes on the south will follow. You must sound short blasts to signal moving on. Last fall, we spoke of the sound of the shofar being a trumpet, and it was used for many purposes, but the single most purpose use of the shofar or the trumpet was a call to arms, a call to war. It was a time that the shofar blasted, and when it blasted, they knew by the sounds that it made that it was time to go to battle. You picked up your armor, you picked up your sword, and you headed off to battle. I believe that the trumpet has sounded. The time for camping has ended. It's time to rise up and to move forward. And church, we better be ready to move when God says move. But the problem has become that some of us have become too comfortable camping out around the mountain or camping out in the desert. It's become a way of life for you. You become complacent with the manna. You become complacent with the water that comes out of the rock. But God is saying, listen, I've blown my trumpet. I've sounded the warning. It's time to engage in battle. It's time to move into war. Since the day of Pentecost, God has been moving his church forward. There have been times when the church has come under tremendous stress as well as persecution. Down through the ages of time, God has always had a people. God has always had a church. God has always had an army. But since the early 1900s, God has accelerated the restoration of his church. He has accelerated the restoration of his army. We cannot look into the history of the church and deny that it has not had an impact on our world today since the Holy Ghost was poured out in 1905 on Azusa Street in a revival that lasted some 10 years. God has been restoring unto the church. He's been restoring the gifts of the Spirit. He's been restoring his glory. He's been restoring his power and his authority. If we look across our planet today, the oneness organizations, not just UPCI that we are involved in, but the oneness organizations that believe in this Acts 2:38 message of repentance, baptism in the name of Jesus, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. They believe in the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We're pushing some 600 million saints of God. 600 million. Imagine if all 600 million saints of the Most High all rose up in one mind and in one accord. And I believe that God is calling us up to enter in to this one final battle. It will be a swift battle. It will be powerful, and it will be full of the glory of God. The latter rain is being poured out all over this world. And I believe this year the trumpet has been blown, and it is time to move forward into a new level of glory. It is time for Calvary Gospel Church. It is time for you as a saint of Calvary Gospel Church to begin and challenge yourself with a new dimension from God. This year, I've divided this year into four parts in each quarter. Unlike last year where I went month by month, this year we'll be going quarter by quarter. The first quarter of the year, I would like to cover the topic, show me your glory. I so desire to see God's glory as it spreads across the cities and the towns in Dane County. I so desire to see what God is going to do in Dane County. All the way down to the highways and the byways. Then we're going to cover the power of his glory. You see, you just can't talk about God and say, show me your glory, without understanding the power of his glory. It doesn't do any good to just see it. We have to experience it. We can see it every time someone receives a baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's God's glory. It's the power of God manifesting itself inside the life of a person. But we need the power of His glory. You see, we have power. All that power is wrapped up in Jesus Christ. Some people have power due to their last names. But beyond that, beyond their name, you have to have the power of the bloodline. We have here tonight Brother Blake George sitting back there. Now, Brother Blake George, I've chose to pick on him because he's the only person I know that has the same last name as the Prince Charles of England. That is his last name, George. Now, I would guarantee Blake that if he were to ride up to Buckingham Palace and get out of his little taxi and go up and look at one of those guards with the beaver hats that never smile or say anything and show his ID in front of that gentleman and say, "I've got the last name George, and the person that lives here, Prince Charles, last name's George, so let me in." Do you think that Blake would have any chance of... I think that man would say something. He would probably take that rifle with the bayonet on it and probably poke him back into his cab. You see, it's not just to have the name. There's a lot of people that claim the name, but they don't have the blood. They don't have the bloodline. I'm sorry, Blake. You may have the same last name as Prince Charles, but you don't have the same blood. So it doesn't work. You're just Blake George. But you see, we have to have the right bloodline flowing in our veins. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We are bought by the shedding of His blood. We are His children. We are the apple of His eye. We are royal blood. Blood that has power, wonder-working power, and it flows through the veins of every born-again, water-baptized in the name of Jesus. There is power. There is power in His glory, and we need to know how to use it. Then we'll spend some time on how to use the glory of God and using our God-given power and authority. And then we need to learn how to live in His glory. This is where so many of us, we just fall so short. God desires us to live in this type of a lifestyle. To live as overcomers. You see, God never intended for us just to experience His power and glory once in our lifetime when we receive the Holy Ghost. He designed us to have this as a day-to-day, hour-by-hour, minute-by-minute lifestyle. It's like people that are addicted to coffee, they never put it down. I'm going to pick on Vicky because every time I see her, she's got a cup of coffee or she's making a cup of coffee. And all the staff says, amen. She's addicted to the lifestyle. Everywhere she goes, she's got coffee. You see, that's the way we need to have the Holy Ghost. That's the way we need to live. We need to live in His glory. The scripture tells us in 2 Corinthians we need to move from glory to glory. We are not saved to remain in the same glory we entered into, but rather be saved to enter into the very image of Jesus Christ Himself. He says, "There's so much more of me. Experience it. All of it." It's like going to Disney and checking into your campground and never getting on the boat that goes to Magic Kingdom. You're not experiencing it. You just got in the door. And God says, "I want you as a church, experience all of me." I remember living in Onalaska, Wisconsin. It's the only neighborhood, the only street that I ever remember living on that actually had a curb and gutter. And this is the reason why I selected Onalaska, because we had to have curb and gutters. But every summer, we would get those heavy rains, and the storm clouds would build up, and it would begin to rain, and all of us neighbor kids, everything around us was dirt, was all sand. We had these big, huge sand lots, and they had tumbleweeds, and they had those sand stickers that, I don't know if you'd ever run across those sand, that sand, and they got those little sand stickers. I don't know what they're really called, but they're like little demonic stickers that hurt. They hurt like crazy when you step on them barefooted. And kids, you could always tell when they got a sticker in their foot, because they'd be running along, and all of a sudden they'd be going, trying to keep that momentum going, trying to get that sticker out of their foot. So they get this sticker, and the rains would come, and we'd steal our dad's shovels and garden utensils and hose or whatever we could find, and we'd go out there and we'd start damming up the street. And we'd pile that sand up all the way up to the curb, and we'd pile it, and we'd try to go all the way across the street. I don't know how many of you ever did that as a kid, but we'd try to stop all the water that comes down. And our goal was to make a big, huge mud hole on the street so we could ride our bikes through it and splash in it. But you see, trying to stop all of that water as it came rushing down the hill, all of that water, time and time again, our efforts would fail. Our flimsy little sand-made dams were no match for the power of the storm waters as they rushed down the street. And eventually, the force of the water would cause that little sand dam. We did our best to build it up and bulk it up with grass and rocks and sticks or whatever we could get our hands on, time to time, a brick or two. But as the water flowed down, eventually our little dam would break. And it'd just be a little bit of a break, Brother Russell, but once it broke and all the water rushed to that one little area, it just poured out. And pretty soon it was too big of a hole that all of our efforts, we could not get that hole plugged back up. You see, we have here at Calvary Gospel Church, I think we have some amazing programs, some amazing ministries. We have an amazing building that we're able to take and have church inside. This is a beautiful building. Inside these walls, there's a kind of a feeling that makes us think that every time we come to church that we are making a difference, because the water is backing up inside of these four walls. It's almost amazing when you really look around us in our watch night service. For all of you that were here in attendance, I was reminded of the scripture found in Revelation 7:9-10, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindred and people and tongue, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. As the service went on, as the group after group came up and took their part in the service, they began to sing the song, how great is our God, and how great is our God, was sung in Spanish and French and Congolese and in English. And just like as a small boy in Onalaska on 7th Avenue North in a rainstorm, as the water began to fall, the water is backing up and it's forming this mass, and this dam has been built, and that dam is holding back the glory and the Shekinah glory and power of an almighty God, and it is about to burst. And when it bursts, the power of God is going to flow out of this place. It can't be contained, nor should it be contained. Listen, church, there's a new generation that is rising. I can't help the fact that our elders are passing away. Friday, I was at the funeral of Brother Jack E. Yance, and as I stood there in front of his coffin, these words were going and thoughts were going through my mind of all of the great men and women that are passing on. They're passing on into eternity. Great saints, great warriors in the kingdom of God. I can't help the fact that our age, the age age of our older saints and our bishop. I can't stop him from growing old. Understand this. I can't stop Pastor Grant, Bishop Grant, from dying. I don't possess the power. I'm not saying that he is dead or he's going to die. Don't take this in the wrong context. I can't stop Pastor Thomas from growing old. I can't stop Jan Rager from growing old. I can't stop some of the older saints in this church from going old. But one thing that we can do is we can stop the flow of young people leaving the church. We can take and build up a generation that is rising up to meet the challenge that is before them. There's a new generation that's rising, and I'm not just talking about preteens and teenagers. I liken this new generation unto Joshua and Caleb, because the Bible says in Numbers 14:24 that Joshua and Caleb had another spirit. Of all of the 12 spies and Moses himself that was there that day, Joshua and Caleb says, we can take the land. They had another spirit. They had a spirit that didn't fit in with the other 12 or with all of the other 10. There was something that was in them. They didn't have the slave mentality of their peers. They didn't think like their elders. They were ready to possess the land just as God had promised them. I believe that this generation, this now generation, not tomorrow generation, but now generation, as it was in the days of Israel, God says this next generation of people will rise up and take possession of the promise that he has given to them and to their forefathers long ago. Listen, they will rise up and pick up the mantles of the generals of old. I will pour out my spirit upon them, and they shall see the glory of their God. There's an army rising up. This generation of Joshua and Caleb, they were a warrior generation. They were a generation that knew how to fight. They had no intentions of backing down from their enemies. They were not afraid. They had their faith in their God. They had lived in Egypt as a slave. They had crossed over the Red Sea. They had ate the manna. They had drank from the rock, but they were not satisfied. Why? Because God had made them a promise. God had made them a promise, and they were on a mission, and their land, it was their land. It was their inheritance. They were radical in their ways, and they were unorthodox in their methods. And this is what led them into complete victory when they took the land. They had no fear. They were sold out wholeheartedly to God. You see, they were not afraid to neither confront or conquer. So many of us, when we confront and resistance is pushed back, we stop. Yeah, I confronted the devil today. Man, I confronted him. Yeah? What did you do about it? How did that work out for you? Did you have victory? I confronted my past today. I confronted alcohol. I confronted drugs. I confronted pornography. I confronted. Did you conquer it? There's a difference between confronting and conquering. We can't just confront our city. We got to conquer our city. Young people, I want to challenge you. Don't be afraid to speak out to the forces of darkness that have plagued our society. Don't be afraid to speak out against the forces of darkness in your schools and your universities. We need to rise up as a church. We need to rise up, young men and young women, mighty men of valor. We need to confront the enemy, and we need to conquer him, because that is what revival is. I think the word revival is so misrepresented. We have revival so we can pray through souls. But revival, how do you revive someone that's dead? People that come in and they don't have the Holy Ghost, you can't revive them because spiritually they're dead. Revival was for the saints. It was to revive the saints. Get them all stirred back up. We spend too much time having revival and not enough time praying through the people that have never experienced the experience in order for them to have a revival to fall away from. Did you follow all of that? You see, the flow of the Spirit, the glory of God, was never meant to be confined to our ministries here at Calvary Gospel Church. The Spirit of God, the glory of God, was never designed to keep inside these four walls. In closing tonight, church, we need a breakthrough. We need a breakthrough. You know why we need a breakthrough? We need a breakthrough so we can have a breakout. That's what we need. I love this scripture, reading 2 Samuel 5:17 through 20. Now when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines went to search for David. And David heard of it and went down to the stronghold. And the Philistines also went and deployed themselves in the valley of Rephaim. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up against the Philistines? Shall I go up against the enemy? Shall I go up against the neighborhood forces in the neighborhood that need conquering? Shall I go up against the forces in my classroom that need to be conquered? Shall I go up against the forces that are seeking to destroy me?" And I added this little, and if I do, a little question there. Shall I go up against the Philistines? David is asking a question. And if I do, will you deliver them into my hand? And what is God's reply to David? He said, "And the Lord said to David, go up, for I will doubtless, without a doubt, 100%, don't worry a bit, David. Go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into your hand." Stand up tonight, church. I believe God is saying to us as a church, rise up. So David went on to Baal-perazim, and David defeated them there and said, "The Lord has broken through my enemies before me like a breakthrough of water. The Lord has broken through my enemies before me like a dam bursting and the water rushing out and consuming my enemies." How's that for victory? And we're worried. And we get worried sometimes. When David and his men were surrounded by their enemies, they looked to God, and God responded by saying, "David, I am the Lord of your breakthrough." Tonight, you may feel like you're stuck. You may feel like you are in need of a breakthrough in your life. I'm going to give this not as a challenge, but as a warning. And I feel this. I wouldn't say it if I didn't feel it. This church is moving out. We're moving. God says go, and I'm not going to say no. If you don't want to go and you get left behind, it's no fault but your own. I can't wait. We can't wait. We don't have time to wait for people that don't want to get engaged. You may say, "Do you not care about me, Pastor Roy?" Do you not care about your own soul? Don't blame it on me. Don't pin it on me. Don't pin it on the ministry. Say, "Oh, they left me behind." God's saying, move. God's saying, go. If we want a spiritual, supernatural breakthrough in our lives, we need to stir up a hunger for God. We're going to talk about this on Wednesday night. If we desire to see the glory of God in our lives, in our church, we need a breakthrough. We say, well, how do I know, Pastor, if I need a breakthrough? Well, if you have no joy, if you have no peace, if you have no passion for Jesus, you have no passion for lost souls, you have no vision, you don't have any direction in your life or your ministry, I would say you are in dire need of a breakthrough. When's the last time you got excited over something to do about the glory of God? Are you just bored with your life? If you're an engaged Christian, you shouldn't be just bored with your life. You see, if you're not experiencing the abundant life that Jesus died for you to bring to you, then you are in need of a breakthrough. In order for us to have the glory of God in our lives, we must have a pure heart. A pure heart that beats as one with Jesus Christ. You see, Revelation chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Does he say, come back to church, get involved in a ministry? You get involved in a ministry, I'll bless you. We'll sweep it all under the rug. He says, no. He says, remember, therefore, where you have fallen. Repent. Go back to the beginning of your experience. It all started with repentance. And we have so much pride that we won't bow our knees before a God and repent. Many here tonight have lost your first love. You've traded it in for more trinkets from the enemy. Did you hear what I just said? You've given up your first love for some mere trinkets that the enemy casts at your feet. Isaiah 44:3, God gives us this promise, for I will pour water on him who is thirsty. You're thirsty here tonight. You're at the end of your rope and you need a breakthrough. God says, I will pour water. Oh, that's so refreshing. I will pour water on him who is thirsty and flood. Not just a sprinkler, but I will flood the dry ground. I will pour my spirit on your descendants and my blessings on your offspring. God has an army and it's rising up. The trumpet has sounded and God says go, and we can't say no, but we need a breakthrough. God's giving us a little bit of prep time and says, I want you to repent. I want you to go back to your first love. Go back to where you found me. So these altars are open tonight. I want to invite you to come down here and go back to your first love. Go back to where you started. Go back to that point of refreshing and allow the power and the Holy Ghost of the Almighty God to flow through your life and flow through your veins. Once again, if you've never experienced the power of the Holy Ghost and you need a breakthrough in your life, I want to encourage you to come down here tonight. If you want to be baptized in the name of Jesus and have your sins washed away as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered again, I want to encourage you tonight, get baptized.
Lord of the breakthrough, you are the Lord of the breakthrough.
We need to pray, church. We need to pray. We can't get it done We can't bank on the prayers that went out for last year. We got to have prayer for this year. We got to have deeper prayer. We got to have intercessory prayer. We got to get down on our faces and we got to cry out to God. And if it takes blowing snot all over the floor, we got to do whatever it takes to break through.
Lord of the breakthrough, you are the Lord of the breakthrough.